Welcome to the Gastric Health Show, where we help you achieve the happiest and healthiest version of yourself by motivating you to eat, move, sleep, and think better. Welcome to the Gastric Health Show. My name is Dawn Boxall, and we are excited today to continue our topic of constipation and really just continue to pick apart this whole area of digestive health that interferes with so many people, especially after gastric bypass and gastric sleeve surgeries. And so I'm hoping that I'm giving you some different ideas, different perspectives, and different approaches to consider because constipation is complex. It does not just improve with one strategy. It usually takes multiple strategies together before you get improvement and resolution. So this is another strategy. This is another way that you can attack the constipation that you're struggling with. So today's topic is FODMAP and constipation connection. And I have talked about FODMAPs before, and you can find that on our website or on iTunes, and it is under Why the FODMAP Am I Bloated? And we dig into the connection with FODMAPs and bloating. But now we are going to look at FODMAPs and constipation and how they play a role in your motility and transit time and how your body can respond. Because in general, the standard guidelines for most people with constipation is to increase fiber, increase fluids, and increase your exercise, which is all great, and I'm all for that. But many of you that are constipation sufferers tell me that you feel worse when you increase your fiber. So we know that fiber doesn't always improve motility. Sometimes it does increase bloating and gas, and it does delay the frequency of stools, and you have more constipation. So what I want you to learn in this video is that when you get the right fibers in the right doses, you can get improvement with your constipation. So we're going to kind of dig into this topic. I'm going to understand the fibers first and the carbohydrates before we dig into the FODMAPs. So let me help you understand this a little bit better by giving you a little background. So where do fibers come from? Carbohydrates. And as a bariatric patient, I know many of you try to avoid carbohydrates. And I think if you can be intentional about your choices and don't be afraid of carbohydrates, but instead utilize them for the health benefits. Use them to help you with constipation. Use them very specifically in your choices, and you will get way better results. So fiber comes from carbohydrates. There's two categories of carbohydrates. There is simple and complex. Simple is rapidly digested, and complex with the fiber is more slowly digested. So when we break fiber down, there are three different types of fiber. There's soluble, there's insoluble, and there's resistant starch. So the soluble fibers, those are ones that dissolve in water and form like a gel-like substance. And these are things like beans and oats and fruits and vegetables. And it's in the plant cell. The insoluble is it actually absorbs water and kind of swells, giving bulk to the stool. So those things are good for some people. We can even use that if you have diarrhea, just to bulk up the stool, because maybe you aren't getting enough of those. These come from like the skins of fruits and vegetables, nuts and seeds and whole grains. So all these things are great, except when they don't make you feel good. So when you feel worse from them, you don't want to consume them. And then the last one is resistant starch. And it's not usually thought of as a fiber, but it is resistant to digestion in the small intestines. And I covered this recently on a topic. It was on a video, a podcast, and a blog post where I dug into constipation improves with a surprising starch. So I'd encourage you to check that one out next to kind of help you with learning more about the resistant starch and the benefits of it with constipation. But you can get resistant starch from potatoes and rice that have been chilled. Those are some examples. But go to that blog post or podcast and learn more about resistant starch there. So the three types of fiber: soluble, insoluble, and resistant starch. Now, before we go in a little further, I want you to understand how we digest carbohydrates. So in the small intestines, that is where food is broken down and absorbed for the nutrition. And then your colon is all about absorbing water and then taking the undigested food out of your body. So that's basic information, general, that helps you. So here's kind of the flow of it. You eat the food or the carbohydrates or fiber, sugar, whatever, you know, type of carbohydrate you're doing. It goes to the colon. The colon and the gut bacteria in the colon start fermenting those sugars and starches and fibers. And then it produces these substances, a number of them, but it produces short-chain fatty acids, which are great. But it also will produce gas like methane and hydrogen. And we talk about those on another recent podcast on constipation and bacterial overgrowth. So if you want to learn more about those different gases, then tune into that podcast or video or blog post, and that'd be a great way to learn more about that. But those types, you know, when you have the carbohydrates, your colon, the gut bacteria ferment, and then make these things out of that. So you might be thinking, why does that matter? Why do we really care about that? And how does that impact constipation? That is because carbohydrates, fibers, and sugars ferment differently. So it's really all about the fermentation that's happening. And if you have an increase in fermentation in your colon, this is going to affect transit time. So that is the motility that your colon, that peristalsis, that muscular movement that occurs for your whole digestive tract, really, that has this peristaltic motion that allows food to pass and move through your whole digestive tract. But that's how we have bowel movements, and that's how we move food and stool out, is through that motility, that transit time. So if you have a slow motility, you're going to have constipation. If you have a fast, you're going to have diarrhea. So I want to explain this even a little bit further so that you understand. When this fermentation is happening, you are also getting increase in gas and increase in fluid, because that is the colon's job, to draw in fluid and the gut bacteria to start fermenting, and they produce the gas. So when that happens, your bowel gets distended. Some, if you have digestive issues, will experience bloating and abdominal pain, and some, you just don't feel good. People who don't have digestive issues, they don't notice that. It is not out of balance, and it works efficiently. So when you have that distension in your bowel, it affects how the muscles of the bowel wall contract. And then that's when it impacts your motility. And that's why you can be constipated. So if you are struggling with constipation, getting to that the right fiber in the right dose is the key point. So this is where we dig into FODMAPs. And like I said, I've talked about FODMAPs before, so check out that blog post or podcast on that. But FODMAPs is really just the acronym for fermentable oligosaccharides, disaccharides, monosaccharides, and polyols. And really, they are just short-chain carbohydrates that are poorly absorbed in the small intestines and are fermented in the colon by bacteria. So, some examples of oligosaccharides are wheat, rye, garlic, onions, beans and lentils. Disaccharides are milk and milk products. Monosaccharides are cherries, grapes, honey, high fructose corn syrup. Polyols are apples and pears, and sorbitol. And sorbitol is just a sugar alcohol that is used to sweeten foods. And it is an artificial sweetener as well, and can cause diarrhea very easily. So you can find it in a lot of sugar-free products, but it's listed under sugar alcohols on the labels as well. But foods naturally have, like apples and pears, have polyols in them too. So they're not just a man-made thing. It is something that's naturally in food. So FODMAPs, if you are having constipation and consuming a lot of these and feeling a lot of gas and bloating and you having fewer and fewer stools, this is where you work with the dietitian to remove these temporarily for a short window of time, and then we systematically reintroduce them and bring them all back, or the majority of them back pretty quickly, as long as you can tolerate them. But I have seen great improvements with patients in bowel movements with following a low FODMAP diet, because again, we are addressing the fermentation issue. And it's actually pretty cool because it is restrictive, it's an elimination diet. But with FODMAPs, they have learned so much about each different food that they really truly understand how much is in each one. So you might not have any issues until you surpass the upper limit. So it's not like you can't have it. So asparagus is one that could be an issue for, because it's a higher FODMAP. And if you maybe chop up one asparagus spear into an omelet, you would be fine. But if you had 4 asparagus spears on your plate and at dinner, you're going to have a reaction. So again, it goes back to the right dose, the right fibers. So working with a registered dietitian who understand FODMAPs and who have been trained in FODMAPs and can help walk you through that reintroduction and do it systematically so that you do it correctly and get results. Because just removing FODMAP foods, I would not want you to do, because again, you can see the benefits of these. And I brought up the short chain fatty acids because those are a huge benefit to our health. And we don't want to remove these forever. So I would never recommend you to just Google low FODMAP foods and just start eating those to feel better. Although I want you to feel better, I just don't want you to get stuck on that. Because if you don't reintroduce them correctly, then you're going to get stuck and you're not going to get those foods back and you're going to be very limited on your diet. And that is the worst thing we can do for your overall health. Because you need a variety of foods in your diet every day. So if you are struggling with constipation and you also have some gas and bloating and abdominal pain and all that that comes with it, I would encourage you to get with a dietitian and work on removing these FODMAPs and reintroducing them at the right doses, at the right time, so that you can get better results with your motility, so that your constipation can be resolved, because we are impacting everything at the lower end. So I really hope that makes you think about a different strategy with exploring the FODMAPs for constipation and just understanding how it actually impacts motility and how transit time is impacted because of how it gets broken down. So again, I would love to work with any of you if this is your issue, and feel free to just reach out on my website or any social media platform, on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, any of those would be a great place to reach me. You can direct message me, or you can hit contact us on my website. Feel free to reach out though, so we can help get you in a better place with your constipation. See you soon. Bye-bye.